من طف رسول الله The blessings of Shaban The من طف رسول الله The blessings of Shaban The blessings of Shaban الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in our program Fast is a Shield. In this program, we talk about the great blessing of fasting which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. How great and beneficial fasting is. What a great reward, what a great blessing, what a great bounty fasting is for us. And how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is towards us that He has given us a great shield in the form of fasting. In our last episode, we spoke about fast being a shield for the turmoils of the afterlife. And today, our topic is that fasting being a shield against spiritual diseases. How fasting serves as a shield against spiritual diseases. Before we delve further into this topic of ours, let's first of all enlighten our hearts by listening to a virtue of sending peace and salutations upon our Master, our intercessor, the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, states that your du'as remain suspended between the earth and the heavens until you send salawat, you send salutations upon the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, over here, we come to know of a great formula of how our du'as can be accepted. It is by sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Without sending salutations upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, our du'as will remain suspended between the earth and the heavens. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Our topic of the day, fasting as a shield against spiritual diseases. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, there are two types of diseases. One are physical diseases and then there are spiritual diseases. Spiritual diseases, they are more dangerous than physical diseases. Why? Because physical disease could perhaps lead to taking a person's life away. Whereas spiritual disease can lead to taking a person's faith away, a person's iman away. And iman, faith, is the essence of everything. It is the greatest treasure that a believer can ever possess. Nothing in the entire world can equate to the treasure of belief, of faith that a believer possesses. And now, spiritual diseases can lead towards taking this great treasure of a believer away from us. Now, we're talking about fasting being a great shield against spiritual diseases. This is our topic of the day. And again, today we have our Honorable Dr. Khurram Attari Sahib with us, who will, inshallah, taking us through this journey of ours, where he'll be shedding light on how fasting is shield for us against spiritual diseases. So, Dr. Sahib, once again, welcome and thank you very much for joining us in our program. And today, we're talking about fasting being a shield for us against spiritual diseases. Now, in terms of spiritual diseases, what are they? How important it is for us to realize what they are and how important it is for us not to neglect them, which we often tend to do, and ensure that we do treat them. And then, how come fasting serves as a shield against those spiritual diseases? What would you say in this regard?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you very much again for the opportunity.
Always a pleasure.
So as you said, that as in the last episode, we covered the turmoils of the hereafter. And the reason why fast being a shield is so important for us is that it covers so many dimensions,
right,
so many aspects, and it has actually so much diversity in its meaning. Because the literal meaning of fast is abstinence.
Right.
And so the literal definition is that one abstains from eating, drinking from the beginning to the end of the fast. But fasting is not just limited to that.
Right.
So that's why we need to understand what is the, when we are fasting, what is we are being asked to do. And yes, it is great that we keep fast and we are following the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And if we do it for His pleasure, then inshallah, we'll get reward for it.
So over here, we're talking about sort of purposes of fasting. And first, we determined that we need to fast. There's no way we can neglect it. But right. Now, fasting does not entail only abandoning eating and drinking. This is what you've just talked about.
That's right.
So there's further detail into it.
That's right.
Right.
And the key aspect of one of those things, that fast actually helps us protect, and it is a safeguard for us. It is a protection for us from so many ailments. And the ailments, the diseases, can be off of a physical body. But as you said, more importantly, for our soul.
Right.
And what spiritual diseases are, so these are the diseases which affect our soul.
Right.
And the reason why they're so important is that, as you said, the main concern we have is that if our soul is affected, then the risk is that one can actually, it can ultimately lead to one losing their faith,
Allah,
which is such a big concern for a believer. And as we are taught in the environment of Dawat Islami, that one should be praying to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that there never even a picosecond in a life of a believer where the faith separates from him. That's what we need to pray. So what fast would actually help us attain, if we understand it, and there's no better way to understand than from the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that actually gives us the framework.
Right.
And teaches us why that fast is not just abstinence in its literal meaning, but we actually need to think of its meaning in all dimensions. So, hadith from Sahih Bukhari, 1903,
right.
The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is warned, if anyone does not refrain from indecent talking and evil acts, remember, Allah Azza wa Jal does not need his remaining hungry and thirsty.
Allahu Akbar.
So clearly, fast is not just limited to its literal meaning. We are being asked to actually observe fast in its entirety.
SubhanAllah.
With its entire core, the substance, the essence of faith. And that is that we actually prevent each and every part of our body, as well as our soul, against all the potential attacks of evil, be it in, from shaitan, be it from our own self, be it in the form of a disease. We need to actually use this as a shield against those. And what Ramadan is doing for us, it being obligatory, is that it is actually giving us an opportunity to practice it, to implement it upon ourselves, to actually use it as a pilot project. And actually we can then demonstrate, not to anyone else, but to ourselves, that look, by keeping fast, if I do it in its entirety, then I wouldn't engage myself in any indecent talk. Then I wouldn't engage myself in backbiting, in slandering. I would actually learn patience from it. I would actually, at the time of iftar, when the food arrives, I would say shukr. I would actually thank Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What is all of this doing? It is preparing our soul for its own food. You know, so ma'azallah, there is this common understanding where people say that music is the food for the soul, ma'azallah. No, it's the zikr of Allah which is actually the food for our soul. During fast, when a person is so close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that is when we actually can implement it upon ourselves and learn and then practice it. And so that for the remaining 11 months of the year, this training which we have achieved, it then traverses through the rest of the year and then help us keep protecting ourselves from all these things which we have actually practiced by avoiding.
SubhanAllah.
And that is what, you know, fast provides a shield.
SubhanAllah. So from the discussion which you've just made, we derive another very important and fundamental aspect of fasting, that fasting is not only restricted to staying hungry and thirsty within the stipulated times.
That's right.
It requires a few more measures for us to implement within our body. And fasting, as we are covering the topic of the day, is a shield for our spiritual diseases.
That's right.
And these few elements which you've just touched upon, it shows that fasting is basically strengthening our soul.
Sure.
Because when you're talking about we need to stay away from ill talking, we need to stay away from indecencies, from backbiting, from slandering, so on and so forth. What is this doing? This is purifying our soul. This is purifying our inner self. And then when we observe patience over our hunger and thirst, and when we pay gratitude to Allah Almighty, when we break our fast, then what is happening? Again, the element of patience and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also developed inside ourselves, which is basically strengthening our soul further. So this element which I can derive, and I'm sure viewers of Madani channel can also derive from your discussion, is that fasting is not restricted to only leaving drinking and eating, but there are other elements as well which will purify our soul, and of course this will help us to make fast into a shield against our spiritual diseases. And also, Dr. Saab, just these spiritual diseases which you've touched upon, backbiting, slandering, etc., it is also necessary for us to acquire knowledge about them. Sure. Without acquiring knowledge about them, how would we refrain from them? I would like you to talk more in detail about these spiritual diseases and how fasting serves as a shield against them. But before that, the viewers of Madani channel, alhamdulillah, we have another segment for you where we will listen to the naat of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam and enlighten our hearts with the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Let's go towards the naat of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Madina.
इसलिए عطار جانو دل سے ہے پیارا کہ رہتے ہیں میرے آقا میرے گنبد کے بدوں کو بھی نبھائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے جسے او شاخ کی جنت کہا کرتے ہیں اہل حق جسے او شاخ کی جنت کہا کرتے ہیں اہل حق وہ ہے صحرا تیرا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
مدینے میں بلائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے بدوں کو بھی نبھائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
گناہ گاروں کی جانب سے خطاؤں پر خطائیں ہیں گناہ گاروں کی جانب سے خطاؤں پر خطائیں ہیں مگر تجھ سے عطا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
مدینے میں بلائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کو بھی نبھائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
فرشتوں کا جھکا سر سوئے آدم کس کے باعث ہے فرشتوں کا جھکا سر سوئے آدم کس کے باعث ہے تیرا ہی نور تھا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
مدینے میں بلائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے بدوں کو بھی نبھائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
گھٹا چاروں طرف سے کفر کی اسلام پر چھائی گھٹا چاروں طرف سے کفر کی اسلام پر چھائی نظر فرما ذرا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
مدینے میں بلائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے بدوں کو بھی نبھائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
وہ روزہ جس پہ ہے جبریل بھی سو جان سے قربان وہ روزہ جس پہ ہے جبریل بھی سو جان سے قربان ان آنکھوں سے دکھائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
مدینے میں گنبد کے بدوں کو بھی نبھائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
خدا ہے تیرا واصف پھر جمیل قادری کیوں کر خدا ہے تیرا واصف پھر جمیل قادری کیوں کر کرے تیری ثنا اے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے
مدینے میں بلائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے بدوں کو بھی نبھائے رہنے والے سبز گنبد کے سبز گنبد کے سبز گنبد کے
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم. Welcome back to viewers of Madani channel. And just before going to the Naat of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we were talking about certain spiritual diseases which weaken our soul, which make us spiritually ill. And fasting makes us healthy from a spiritual point of view. How? When we avoid sins whilst we're fasting, which is also a requirement for us to do, which mashallah Dr. Khuram Attari Sahib of Muballigh al-Dawud Islami earlier mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, where we've been persuaded, where we've been instructed that if we don't abandon sins whilst we're fasting, then Allah Almighty is not in need of our hunger and thirst. This shows that how important it is for us to abandon sins whilst we're fasting. So fasting is not only restricted to abandoning eating and drinking, but there's more into it, leaving out sins, which will of course strengthen our soul and make us spiritually more well. And this way, the fasting of course will become a shield for us from spiritual ailments, from spiritual diseases. Now, Dr. Sahib, we're talking about spiritual diseases and how important it is for us to first of all understand them and then abandon them. Now, how would we understand spiritual diseases? Of course, we can't cover all of them in their entirety, but if you can just shed some light upon certain spiritual diseases, and then in the light of importance of fasting, how would fasting become a shield against them? And how would abandoning those spiritual diseases would help for the well-being of our soul?
So as we were hearing about, so one of the things which we can do, and alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami gives us guidance, which is so relevant to 21st century. So there are 47 spiritual diseases, and there is an entire book which provides us information about all of them. And when I first read this book, I thought that, you know, there were things which I hadn't even read before.
Right.
Diseases which perhaps I hadn't even thought before.
Allah.
And they were all mentioned there. And Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala, also through his books, we learn a lot about them. And why it's important? Because as we're just discussing, that these diseases, they are not obvious to the doctor. They're not obvious to the naked eye. One needs to be aware of them. And only how one could do that is through self-accountability.
Right.
One needs to understand, okay, at this moment, this is potentially the spiritual disease I could have or I could possess, and I need to treat it. And all the treatments, there are so many treatments which are through the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, through actually holding yourself accountable, to read about them and their potential harms and how it can affect us. There are lots of things. But again, if we go to our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and learn from him what we can do, especially through fast and using that as a shield, then here our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, hadith mentioned in At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib, that if someone fights you or abuses you, you should say to him, I'm fasting. What a beautiful way. So what is our natural inclination? That's again a great test for one's personality. If someone suddenly comes in front of me, it might be by the roadside, it might be when I'm driving a car, someone scratched it maybe. What is my natural response in that situation? If I get angry, and if I actually start shouting and screaming, then I need to think about that. Is there something wrong with me? Mm. And potentially there is, because the risk is now that if I actually hurt the feelings of others, there is a serious risk that that is a spiritual disease I'm carrying, that I'm actually violating the rights of my Muslim brothers. And the tongue, how am I using that? The selection of words, the intonation, how I'm talking to them. Because our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has taught us, Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi.
SubhanAllah.
Or kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith from Sahih Muslim.
SubhanAllah.
This is how Muslim is defined.
SubhanAllah.
That from his tongue and his hand,
another Muslim is safe.
Every other Muslim is safe, it's protected. So if I'm not using my tongue right, what is actually driving that? So, I mean, tongue is a great creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It's the only muscle, it's actually a combination of 8 muscles.
Right.
But it has no bone in it. But those the muscles are so beautifully intertwined that when you actually move it, that vibration creates this sound, which you can understand as words. So this is the medical aspect. But actually, what is driving it? It's actually my spirit. It's my soul which is driving it.
You can either use it to swear at someone, or you can use it to glorify Allah Almighty.
To glorify Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Exactly. So if I had, at that time when I had suffered that loss, perhaps at the hand of my Muslim brother, I could have read, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I could have actually, Sheikh Fateh Musli, rahmatullahi ta'ala, his wife, when she broke her nail, she started smiling. And someone said, are you not in pain? And she said, yes, I am. But actually, instead of the pain, what I remembered was the reward I'm going to get from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for staying patient on this loss. And just the idea of that reward made me smile. This is the definition of a clean spirit.
How spiritually strong they would be.
Exactly.
How beautifully spirit would be, their soul would be, when we talk about awliya kiram rahimahumullah.
Exactly. Because that's how, it's because their entire lives are of course dictated by taqwa, by fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and also the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, his rewards, as well as the punishments which one could get. And that's why they would lead such balanced lives, even at that moment. But if we forget all of that, and if we think, okay, well, you know, this is my tongue and I can decide how I want to use it, and this is my body and I own it and I can decide. Well, we don't.
Indeed.
We don't own it.
Indeed.
This is actually a gift from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If we really think that actually that, you know, this hand of mine or this tongue of mine I can use because I'm in a position of authority and I can decide how to use that, then there are two things which I should fear from. One, this won't stay with me forever.
Indeed.
This won't last forever. And if I want to see an example of that, I sometimes give an open invitation. I say, come along to my Monday morning ward round in the hospital.
Allah.
Let me take you to that 21-year-old.
Allah.
You know, there is a condition where person gets a stroke, which is where the half of the brain or part of the brain is dead, especially on the right side. You know, when I go and ask them, do you know where your left hand is? It's attached to him. And I ask the person, do you know where your left hand is? He says, I don't know. And then I distinctly remember that one patient of mine, when I asked him, where is your left hand? And what did he say? He said, it's somewhere there. It's attached to him. Why? This is what medically we call sensory inattention. That's that part of the brain which helps you recognize your own body parts. That part is dead because of that stroke. It's attached to you, but it's useless. So if I think that somehow this is going to last forever and I can raise my hand and I can raise my voice and do something, then I can show you, you know, we have examples of these people who are so-called huge scientific celebrities, and they actually need a voice enhancer to be able to utter those words because of the motor neuron disease. They can't use their tongue. If that doesn't help me understand, then I need to understand why I need to use fast as a shield for these spiritual diseases. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is reminding us, this is not just here. But if you think you can do whatever, then Allah ta'ala is reminding us in Surah Yasin. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahihim, wa tukallimuna aydihim, wa tashhadu arjuluhum bima kanu yaksibun. Today we shall set seal on their mouths and their hands will talk to us.
Allahu Akbar.
And their feet will bear witness of their doings.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Ta'ala has clarified it for us. Don't think that, you know, I can do whatever and this is my body and this is my parts and I can use them. No. Fasting is teaching us.
Again, this kind of mindset is developed by a person when he's spiritually ill.
That's right.
You spoke about hurting others' feelings. Let's just take this as first spiritual disease that we're talking about. The other day in one of the Madani Muzakras, Amir al-Sunnah also shed some light on it. The Amir of al-Sunnah stated that hurting a Muslim's feeling is a very major sin.
That's right.
It's a severe sin. But unfortunately, we don't consider it to be anything.
That's right.
It is something very, very small for us.
Yeah.
Now, when we end up doing this, it is because of our ill spirituality.
That's right.
Because of the spiritual disease that we have in ourselves.
That's right.
Weak spirituality, because of which we end up doing this. Now the example you gave, the blessed hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, you mentioned earlier on, that if someone fights you, say to him that I'm fasting. In that hadith, what beautiful instructions there are to strengthen our spirituality. In terms of observing patience.
That's right.
In terms of not hurting the feelings of other fellow Muslim.
That's right.
In terms of ensuring that the other brother of yours is safe from your hands or your tongue.
That's right.
Beautiful instructions in terms of strengthening our spirituality. Now, both pictures are in front of us.
Yeah.
If we end up hurting the feelings of the other person, there will of course be some kind of retaliation.
That's right.
And then if the matter will escalate, right, and we know what matters go up to. So, because of ill spirituality, matters escalate, and then the consequences are, of course, not very positive, to say the least. But on the other hand, a strong spirituality, a healthy spirituality, in other words, if you say, also leads to a better social environment.
True.
And the beautiful tip of it is fasting.
Absolutely.
Where it's teaching us patience. We are hungry, we're desperate to eat, but the fear of Allah Almighty dominates us and we refrain from eating. So what is happening over here? Our spirituality is enhancing. Now, our nafs is enticing us to commit a sin. I'm fasting. So what is happening? Our spirituality is enhancing. And earlier you spoke about this being a beautiful testing phase for us,
right,
which sort of prepares us for the rest of the 11 months.
That's right.
That it's not that sins are only haram in this month. Yes, the severity of the sins are far more greater in this month, in the month of Ramadan, as compared to other 11 months. But this is a great sort of learning curve for us, which we can carry forward in rest of the 11 months as well. So fasting is serving beautifully over here as a shield for us for the enhancement of our spirituality. In other words, to cure our spiritual diseases. And now I would address those people who do fast, Dr. Saab. We see those people who do fast, but yet they become agitated. Why? Because they're feeling hungry. They tell their children, don't come close to me. I'm very hungry. Don't come. Don't you know I'm fasting? What's wrong with you? Why aren't you listening to me? Do whatever I say to you the first time I say. These elements of agitation and irritation that we bring into our nature. What is the fault of our children, our wife, or the husband, if I'm fasting? This is for the pleasure of Allah Almighty. If I'm having to observe patience over my hunger or thirst, there's a great reward that is waiting for me.
That's right.
And this hunger and thirst and this observing of patience is purifying my soul.
That's right.
Is enhancing my spirituality. If I'm shouting at my children, at my family members, or at my friends, or outside, or my employees, so on and so forth, then am I exactly reaping the fruits or the result of fasting, which I should be? Because fasting was meant to be for me to enhance my spirituality, but over here, the case is otherwise round.
That's right.
Imagine we go to work for what? To earn money. We go over there, but don't earn money. When the time comes to get the payment, we don't get the payment. We don't get our wages. What's the point of working? Thus, in the same context, if we sort of give the same example over here, fasting was for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was for the enhancement of our spirituality to get rid of spiritual diseases. But over here, we're falling into them on the name of fasting.
Absolutely.
Then how exactly, I mean, just imagine we are end up being at a losing side.
True.
So dear viewers of Madaniya Channel, don't let this situation arise in your nature. If we are hungry, if we are thirsty, this is a test from Allah Almighty. Try to build patience in your nature. Try to have a smile on your face. And just think about the reward that awaits you in the hereafter. Just think about the enhancement of spirituality. That is the essence of the life of a believer, which will help us in the hereafter. And use this fast as a shield for our spiritual enhancement, not to make our spirituality even worse. Inshallah, we'll come back on this topic where we'll cover more spiritual diseases. But before that, let's go towards our next segment where we will listen to a beautiful hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and enlighten our hearts further. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers, it is Abu Umama Bahili radiallahu ta'ala an. He says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam state that once I was sleeping, two men came to me and took me to a mountain. I heard sounds of people crying out. And I asked, what are these noises? I was told that these are the noises of the people of hell. And upon being asked that these are those individuals who had fasted, but they would break their fast before the due time. And if it was on Madani Channel, Remember, it is impermissible to break your fast before the due time. Some people think it's okay, it's only a minute, it's only a few seconds before, it's only 1 or 2 minutes difference, but I fasted the entire day, what difference does it make? No, this is not a complete fast. And Allahu Akbar, we heard about the punishment of those individuals who break their fast before the due time. Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he states that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that one who attains a month of Ramadan but does not fast during the month of Ramadan is the unfortunate one. That person who has one or both of his parents but does not treat them well is unfortunate. That person who hears the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam but does not send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person is unfortunate. And not only is he unfortunate, but rather that person is disgraced. Because in another hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam tells us that may the person who hears my name being mentioned and does not send durood or salat upon me, may he be disgraced. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has stated this. My dear viewers, Allahu Akbar, three things. Subhanallah, treating our parents kindly, reciting salawat, many benefits, but also for those who do not send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, then sadly implications too. And ultimately, subhanAllah, it is the month of Ramadan, al-Mubarak. Fasting during the month of Ramadan is obligatory upon each and every single Muslim. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What a beautiful hadith, what beautiful pearls of wisdom we just learned. Just before going to this segment, we were talking about enhancing our spirituality through fasting. Fasting being a shield against spiritual diseases. And we also covered the fact that fasting does not only comprise of staying hungry and thirsty throughout the day. There are further more requirements into it, where we also have to avoid sins. That is very, very important for us if we want our spirituality to enhance, if we want to get rid of spiritual diseases. And when I say if we want to get rid of them, it doesn't mean that it is optional. We have to get rid of them. There's no choice whatsoever for the enhancement of our spirituality, for our success in this world as well as in the afterlife. Now, don't stop. We covered the topic of hurting the feelings of Muslims and how, ma'adallah, we don't use fasting as a great tool to enhance our spirituality. Now, in this regard, what would you guide us further, that why does this exactly happen and how should our behavior be? Are there certain stages of fasting? What was the nature of the elites of our ummah, how they used to fast, so that we can derive some madani pearls from it and sort of implement within our nature and also follow them when we are fasting?
So I think the issue we have here is that sins is the actual reason why our spirits don't get cleansed.
Right.
And because we can't stop ourselves from committing sins, even in this month of Ramadan, even whilst fasting, that's what then enhances the issue. So there are two ways around it. One example which ulama-i-kiram give, and it's a great example for us to understand. How come our pious ancestors, the elites of the ummah, how come their fasting was a definition of patience, was a definition of gratitude? And why can't we do that? So one example they give is that the moment you switch off the fan, does it stop straight away?
No.
It doesn't. It takes a while to stop. So though the electricity has been cut off, it's been switched off, but actually it's the momentum
SubhanAllah.
And, you know, and students who read physics understand this concept of momentum. You know, that is what is actually continuing that fan to keep moving until it comes to a final stop. So our problem is exactly like that fan. All year round, we are surrounded by bad company. We are surrounded by all these attractions of the world. We have made no preparation for Ramadan, despite the fact that we know that it's a great gift from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And when one actually, when we want to give a present on someone's, you know, on a dinner party or somewhere, what do we do? Do we just buy anything from the shop and take it to their home?
No.
We actually like it to be nicely wrapped.
Indeed.
We want a ribbon around it.
Indeed.
We want a glittering paper. We want it to look at its best. It needs to look auspicious.
Indeed.
It needs to fit the occasion.
Indeed.
And only then we take the gift to that person. But when it comes to our own selves, getting this gift from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has given us the gift in its most beautiful form. What we should be doing in return is actually presenting our fast in the best form we can.
Beautiful example.
But we actually are not doing that. And that's because that fan of sins, which has been running at full speed throughout the year, suddenly this Satan is tied, it's chained, but our own self, which has been indulged in all these sins, has not actually prepared for this month. So what we are told, Ibn Amir of Ahlul Sunnah, he teaches us that the month of Rajab, the moment the moon is sighted, it actually opens a grand portal to the month of Ramadan. And that's where we are taught this the dua from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajabin wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. So giving us actually this mindset, and that's what we know our past predecessors used to do. From the month of Rajab, which is Shahrullah, the month of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they would sow the seeds, for them I would say greatness. You know, we need to sow the seeds of ibadah, of worship, but for them it was they were sowing the seeds of greatness. They would then water it in the month of Sha'ban. How? With the tears shed in the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so that they could reap the great fields, these fruits of all of that preparation in the month of Ramadan.
So their fan started to spin full swing in Rajab.
Exactly. Absolutely.
The fan of pious deeds.
Of pious deeds, exactly. So though they have been pious throughout the year, but actually in Rajab they would optimize. They would maximize that, you know, the whole preparation for it. And in the month of Sha'ban, we know from Sahaba-e Kiram alayhim ridwan, they would pay off all their debts, they would settle all their matters, they would settle all their deals, so that the moment the moon is sighted, they are ready for it. So we don't do any preparation like that. And that's why our spirit, which enters the month of Ramadan in that state of extreme, the sinfulness in the state of this extreme, you know, covered and enveloped in all these sort of the bad deeds, then how would we reap all the benefits of that? So that's one issue. And then the second issue is that we have, even in the month of Ramadan, we are actually using fast as a tool against ourselves, and as you said, against our own families. So we're using that as an excuse and say, oh, I can't be bothered, and I'm too irritable, and I'm too tired, and I'm this and I'm that. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is fasting and is actually has two stones tied to his
Allah.
And he's actually preparing for war. So they are going in a state of war with this extreme hunger that Sahaba-i Kiram alayhim ridwan would come and say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this huge rock, we can't break it. And then they show their tummies, which have got one stone tied to them, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is tying too. And they're going in a state of war. But it was their preparation. You know, it's the preparation which counts, how you actually enter. So we are using this as an excuse, then this irritability and all of that. Why? Because, you know, we say, oh, you know, I've got headache. You know, when I get hungry, I get headache, and that headache, then, you know, defines my day, and then I seem, you know, I'm rendered, you know, I can't function, and I'm rendered useless, you know, all those things. But why? Actually, this fast is providing us energy. And this is the energy of the soul. You know, it's mentioned for various Awliya Kiram Rahimahullah that when they were hungry, they would be at their best.
SubhanAllah.
Why was that? Because the whole dynamics of their body, the homeostasis, the ecosystems of their bodies were so aligned to staying hungry that actually food would kill them.
Allahu Akbar.
That was the beauty of their lives, because, you know, that's how they led their lives. So we don't have the right company, we don't prepare for it, we then use this, all these lame excuses. And then you talk about, you know, hurting others. I mean, so we are actually hurting our own family members.
Indeed.
Who deserve the best from us.
Indeed.
So outside, we are, you know, we display the best behavior. You know, mashallah, he's a nice person, he's a pious person, this and that. And at home, completely different, stark contrast.
Indeed.
And ulama kiram say that, you know, you're talking about hurting others. Even thinking ill of others,
Allah,
even that is considered a sin. Imam Ahmad al-Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala has mentioned that, you know, if someone in the state of fasting in the month of Ramadan, you actually smell alcohol on someone from their mouth, you should still think that they must have spat it out.
Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah.
You know, this is what they're actually teaching us, that, you know, this is, you know, outside Ramadan. In that context, even if you smell that on someone, don't consider them to be alcoholic.
Allah.
Think always good of your Muslim brother.
Allah.
And we deliberately actually hurting others, not just thinking.
I rang you didn't pick up my phone. Ah, he always does this. He's ignoring me.
Exactly.
You know, this is very common nowadays, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes, yes. So exactly. So why is that? Because, yeah, so I think for all those reasons. So I think what we need to do, if we really want to enhance our spirituality, we need to avoid those sins. We need to prepare ourselves better. And the best way, I feel, is to have the right company. Be it in the form of Madani channel, be it in the form of, you know, whether it is electronic media, whether it is through social media. There are so many streams which we could use to always keep ourselves close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And as you said earlier, you know, it is a matter of just uttering a word from our tongue. If it is
Subhanallah,
it is so different from actually swearing. Both might be just one word, but
indeed,
the difference, there is a chasm between them.
Indeed.
That Subhanallah once is actually planting a tree for you.
In Jannah, if uttered inside the masjid.
Exactly. If it's uttered inside the masjid, if it is in the month of Ramadan, where
Allah,
every suprogatory deed is multiplied 70 times. And so,
that's rewarded equal to a fard, and fard is
correct.
Multiplied 70 times.
Multiplied 70 times. So, you know, so if we just look at how much, you know, we can't even multiply and, you know, get a number for how much it could. How would that happen? If we were thinking right, in the right frame of mind. And that could only happen if we are prepared for it and we have the right spiritual balance.
SubhanAllah.
And it's that balance which we need to achieve.
SubhanAllah. And on the same point, Dr. Saab, can we also say that a person's mindset sort of dictates the well-being of the spirituality of a person? In terms of when we're talking about purifying our soul, enhancing our spirituality. And of course, I would relate this with fasting, because this is our topic, fasting being a shield against spiritual diseases. Now, negative frame of mind would lead me to thinking ill of you. Whatever I do, it would lead me to thinking ill of others, which in itself is a spiritual disease.
That's right.
So positive frame of mind is very important, what I've derived from your discussion, to ensure that we avoid the sin of having an ill assumption regarding our Islamic brother, regarding our fellow Muslim, which unfortunately is very common in our society, very, very common in our society. And committing a sin without Fasting, of course, is a sin, but its severity increases if we commit the same sin if we are fasting.
True.
And now, when we're talking about spiritual diseases, frame of mind, thinking about others, all these things are such which are very closely connected with our spirituality, where we sort of think about it, right? And especially in terms of fasting, I would request you to shed some light on when would fasting would become a shield against these spiritual diseases, where fasting would also serve as a great tool for the enhancement of our spirituality in the light of the different phases of the elites who used to fast. But before you do that, I would take a break over here and take our Dear Views of Madani channel to our next segment, where inshallah we will learn more Madani pearls and increase our knowledge. And straight after that, inshallah we'll be back and continue our discussion and learn from our preacher of Dawat Islami, Dr. Khurram Attari Saab, on this topic, and learn more about how fasting serves as a shield against spiritual diseases. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Fast is a shield against the turmoils of Judgment Day. Yes, that Judgment Day which we have heard about numerously before, that a person will be drowning in his sweat in accordance to his sins. There will be great difficulty. Even disbelievers will want reckoning to begin that day of judgment. We can gain salvation from it, from the difficulties of that day, by fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In many ahadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about fasting and how it is a shield against the fire of hell. For example, in Mishkatul Masabih, the Prophet alaihi salam is reported to have said, وَصَوْمُ جُنَّةٌ مِّنَ النَّارِ, that fasting is a shield against the fire of hell. So this is how we prevent ourselves from entering the fire of hell. We save ourselves from the fire of hell. A shield is used for what purpose? To protect yourself. So inshallah, our fast will become an obstacle, a hindrance from us entering the fire of hell. And inshallah, if you fast, then you will be given an exclusive blessing on the Day of Judgment, and that is that you will enter through one of the doors of paradise known as Rayyan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna fil jannati baban yuqalu lahu Rayyan, yadkhulu minhu as-sa'imun." That there is a door of Jannah called Rayyan, and only those who fast will enter through that door. Subhanallah, this is a speciality of those who fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that on the Day of Judgment, they will enter through that door of paradise, which has been reserved for the sa'imeen, those who fasted in the world for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want afiyah, goodness and well-being in the hereafter, then fast in this world for the sake of Allah azza wa jal.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Beautiful Madani pearls for us to learn from. Just before going to the segment Dear Views of Madani channel, we were talking about spiritual diseases, how harmful they are for our spirituality, and how important it is for us to fast, and not only fast, but fast in a right way, so that fast can serve as a shield against those spiritual diseases, so that fasting can result in enhancement of our spirituality. Otherwise, just staying hungry and thirsty, Allah Almighty doesn't need this from us, as we covered earlier from the beautiful hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. We need to abstain from sins, we need to refrain from sins, and then attain the actual essence of fasting, and then continue this routine throughout the year. But before doing that, of course, we need to start preparing for it from at least 2-3 months before, so that we can continue that routine within Ramadan as well. If we continue our sinful routine throughout the year, and all of a sudden Ramadan comes, now it's going to be very difficult for us to abstain from sins all of a sudden and spend the month of Ramadan without committing sins, as Muballigh Dawat Islami earlier beautifully mentioned by giving the example of the fan. So it's very important for us to start abandoning sins prior to Ramadan, so that we take a very positive routine of ours, which is based upon piety and taqwa, into Ramadan. Dear Dr. Saab, we were talking about spiritual diseases and how it harms our spirituality and how fasting actually serves as a shield against those spiritual diseases, which ultimately leads in enhancement of our spirituality. We covered a few spiritual diseases and a few examples of why we do this and the repercussions that people face because of this. Anything further you would like to add upon this very important topic of ours, where the Views of Madani channel can develop further mindset of how to fast in its real sense and what spiritual diseases should we be wary of and make sure that we abstain from them, not only in the month of Ramadan, especially in the month of Ramadan, but also after Ramadan as well?
Absolutely. So I think one of the things which we were discussing earlier is that what's the difference between the fast of the accepted ones,
right,
the elites, and us?
Those who fasted in its true sense.
In its true sense, with its true meaning, and really, I guess, adhering to the principles of the true fast. So scholars, they give examples that actually there are three types of fasting,
right,
and there are three types of people.
Three levels, you can say, or three stages.
Or three stages, absolutely.
Right.
So there are one which is perhaps, you know, so people like myself, which are the fast of a common, of an ordinary person. And that is purely, just literally abstinence in the stipulated time, and that's it.
From eating and drinking.
From eating and drinking. But then there is fast of the pious people. And what they do is that they would not just abstain from eating and drinking, but they would abstain from all evils,
right,
from all the sins.
Right.
So that is the fast of the pious. Right. And the third level is the fast of the ascetic.
Right.
So, and that is those who refrain from all worldly activities.
Allahu Akbar.
And they devote themselves completely to worship Allah.
Subhanallah.
And who would achieve that? Huzur Data Sahib Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he mentioned Kashf al-Mahjub, that what is this, the framework of these people who are these ascetics who would keep that level of fast, is that one would not just prevent themselves from eating and drinking, but they would prevent their eyes from looking at haram. They would prevent their tongue from speaking haram. They would prevent their ears from listening to haram. They would, every single body part, they would avoid it from committing sins. And what they would do instead is that they would dedicate all of those efforts in the remembrance of Allah.
Subhanallah.
And what better example of that? You know, we're talking about and linking it, you know, in this, the sort of the overarching topic, which is shield, is what actually what fasting is giving us an opportunity to do is to actually have self-control.
Right.
Because there would be moments when there is no one looking at me. There is no one watching me.
True.
And even in those moments, when I've abstained myself from eating and drinking, what I'm demonstrating here is that my self-control is dictated by the command of Allah.
Subhanallah.
That even in that moment, and it is that same principle which would then help me from avoiding sins when I'm alone.
Subhanallah.
So in the state of isolation, I would remember that what I've learned from Ramadan, what I've learned from fasting, is that at any time, I'm not alone. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching me.
Subhanallah.
And what could be a better example than from the childhood of Imam Ahlul Sunnah?
Subhanallah.
He's only a few years old. You know, so historians, the biographers have written, maybe he was only 4 or 5 years old. And at that point, he's actually keeping his first fast. And this is in the, you know, the blazing sunshine, scorching heat.
Allahu Akbar.
In the, you know, with sort of the, in the height of summer. And at that time, he's only a few years old. You know, this is the time when my child even can't speak properly.
Allahu Akbar. Perhaps the, not perhaps, fasting wouldn't even be farz upon him.
Absolutely. I mean, if, you know, it's definitely not farz. It's actually preparing himself. You know, we're talking about preparation. So we talked about individual preparation, but here is a child being prepared for what is to come ahead, you know, to prepare them. So we prepare our children for the brightest future. We prepare our children to be the future you know, the founders of society. We want them to be professionals.
Financially prosperous, in other words.
Exactly, absolutely. So we are looking for their prosperity in this world. But the beauty of the great households, of where you actually learn the principles of asceticism, where you learn the principles of how one should actually raise their children, is that, you know, that at that age, well, certainly it's not obligatory upon him, but he's keeping fast. And then, you know, when the sun is shining and it is so hot, and, you know, and this is not a household with all the amenities, you know, so this is, you know, they're not the richest people. But their beauty is, their richness is in their iman.
Subhanallah.
Their richness in their faith.
The richest of the people.
Exactly, which is the absolute richness. So, and his father, Maulana Naqi Ali Khan, so he takes him, and he loved this rice pudding.
Right.
And, you know, and we know that in India,
Imam Ahmad Raza Khan,
so his dad knows that this is, you know, he likes rice pudding. And this is sort of quite nice cold rice pudding, which has been kept for, they're actually celebrating his fast breaking ceremony.
Right.
And that's what they're preparing for. So all these guests are coming, everybody. And again, that's a great lesson for us. If we want our children to learn, and, you know, so we arrange all sorts of parties for them, birthday parties, and there are all these different events which we do for them. But do we actually celebrate the day when they read their Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim? Do we actually celebrate when they keep fast? You know, because so we need to promote that. We need to encourage them.
Indeed.
So, and this is really the time when we should be celebrating. So they are, you know, so it's that celebratory moment is coming. But it is, you know, dad knows that he's only a few years old.
It's not further upon him yet.
It's not further upon him. It's so hot, and the rice pudding in those little utensils, it's getting ready, it's nice and cool. So he takes him into the room, closes the door behind him, it's just the two of them. And then what does he say? Say, son, have some.
No one's watching you.
No one is watching you. And look at, you know, that is the strength of faith. And that's what defines a wali of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. That's what defines the highest state of closeness to Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, but also self-control.
Indeed.
Also patience. That's what we need to encourage in our families, in our children. What does he say? He says, Father, do you not know Allah Ta'ala is watching?
Allah, Allah, Allah.
Of course, his father is also a wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He knows that. But here, this is the training. This is the teaching. This is the education which a child
needs. At such an age.
At such an age. But what they have demonstrated through this is that, and what Ramadan is teaching us, what fasting is teaching us, that yes, there is nobody looking at you, but you still abstain yourself from eating and drinking out of the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and the fact you know for sure that Allah ta'ala is watching me.
Subhanallah.
So when I know that, then how could I ever commit a sin?
Subhanallah.
How could I even lead my life and my spirit on the path of being neglectful, on the path of disarray? I would never do that, because I know that fast has taught me, it has given me that shield, which I can use at this time against shaitan, against my inner self, and say, no, Allah Ta'ala is watching me. And that reminds me of that great saint of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who actually both the maternal uncle as well as the nephew, both of them are awliya of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And the gift he gave him right from his childhood was that whenever he, right by his bedside, as he would wake up, right in front of him, there was this little slate which said, Allah Ta'ala is watching.
Allah Akbar.
What a great training. So that child, he wakes up looking at that statement. He goes to bed looking at that statement. This is a gift from an uncle. And, you know, so we are fighting over how, you know, more expensive gift or a toy I can give for my nephew, for my niece.
And this very practice of sub in today's day and age, if you look at it, alhamdulillah, we see this practice in the seerah of the Amir of Ahl-Sunnah, our Shaykh Tariqat, the founder of Dawat-e-Islami, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Razavi Ziyad Amad Barakatumul Aliyah, where even in his house, everywhere he's written regarding death. Eventually, death is the akhir maut, eventually there is death.
That's right.
Allah dekh raha hai, Allah is watching you.
That's right.
And following his footsteps, many Islamic brothers also follow the same routine.
Right.
You talked about slate. I know certain Islamic brothers who on their as a screensaver on their phone, they've written Allah's watching.
That's right.
On their screensavers, they've put it, because this is something which is perhaps used, one of the most used gadgets nowadays that we have, and they've put as a screensaver, Allah is watching you. And the as you were mentioning the three stages of fasting, when you were talking about the third stage, where the elite of this ummah, the ascetics of this ummah, they not only fast, they not only abstain from eating and drinking, performing pious deeds, but every moment of this is devoted for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You gave the example of the Mujaddid, the revivalist of the 14th century, the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah, from the last century, in today's day and age. As you were mentioning that, the personality of Shaykh Tariqat, the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah, Damat Barakatum Al-Ali, was coming in my mind, as during Ramadan, the pain that he has, the love that he has for Ramadan, the love he has for fasting, the love he has for serving the ummah, the love he has for disseminating knowledge, for spreading knowledge, is unimaginable, is second to none. Alhamdulillah, on Madani channel, every day during Ramadan, the two Madani muzakras, where he's disseminating knowledge, he's spreading Islamic knowledge, he's serving the ummah, every moment of his is devoted for the service of Islam. And these narrations which you were mentioning, alhamdulillah, we see Amir al-Sunnah fully fitting into these narrations, alhamdulillah. Only if for his sake we could also gain some Madani pearls and also act upon the Madani pearls of fasting in its true sense, in its true meanings. And Dr. Saab, on the same note, when we're talking about fasting being a shield against spiritual diseases, when we talk about spiritual diseases, we spoke about ill assumption, we spoke about hurting feelings of our fellow Muslims. There are so many other spiritual diseases, backbiting, slandering, alligating other people. Then we have vanity, have self-conceit, the desire for fame, so on and so forth. So many of these things. Now, as we're talking about all this, the main question arises over here. The three stages that you mentioned, which stage do I fall in? That is the question that we need to ask ourselves over here. And then, this is addressed to those who do fast. There are many people who unfortunately don't even fast.
That's right.
But this is specially addressed to those who do fast. Which category do we fall into? First, second, or third? Number one, whichever category we fall into, we should try to better ourselves. Because one thing is absolutely, definitively determined over here, that we need to enhance our spirituality. There's no way out. We need to get rid of spiritual diseases. This is fundamental for us. This is mandatory for us. It's not optional. And fast is, again, a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will help us achieve these goals. A person who's fasting, when he knows the harms of hurting other people's feelings, he'll refrain from harming others' feelings. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ will be in front of him that if someone quarrels with you, fights with you, reply to him that I'm fasting. Self-control. It teaches us at the time of iftar, paying gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these things will enhance our spirituality. And at the same note, so we also need to sort of contemplate the fact that if our spirituality is not enhancing, if we're not getting rid of spiritual diseases, despite fasting, we don't get rid of backbiting. Despite fasting, we don't stop thinking ill of others. Despite fasting, we can't get the element of self-conceit out of our nature. Then we haven't really achieved the goals of fasting. Imagine you start going to the gym to lose weight. You pay the membership fees. You do all the hard work. You do everything. But at the end of the day, after a month or two, after a year, you still haven't lost any weight. What was the purpose of doing all that?
True.
On the other hand, the dietary requirements which require you to avoid those foods in order to lose weight, you haven't done that. But you're going to the gym. On the other hand, you're also eating a, you know, the fried food and everything. How would you end up losing weight?
That's right.
Now you're wasting your money, you're wasting your time. In the same way, when we are fasting, we need to ensure that we fast to attain the full benefits of it, the actual purpose of it. Anything that is done without achieving its actual purpose, actual goal, is useless.
True.
Fasting, of course, we have to fast, but which category do we fall into?
That's right.
Number one, number two, or number three? Are we just refraining from eating and drinking, but committing sins? Then we need to question ourselves and ensure that we come in the second level, where we not only abandon sins, but also become pious. This is a beautiful practice that fasting teaches us, and this is when fasting would become a shield against spiritual diseases, which will elevate our ranks and enhance our spirituality.
Inshallah.
So, dear viewers of Madani Channel, what we determine from today's episode is that fasting is not only restricted to refraining from eating and drinking, but it also entails, it also requires us to avoid sins, to avoid spiritual diseases. First thing is to learn about them, learn about backbiting, learn about self-conceit, learn about slandering, learn about hurting others' feelings, learn about ill assumptions about our fellow Muslims, so on and so forth. Learn about this knowledge. And acquiring knowledge about these branches of knowledge is also fard upon us, is also obligatory upon us. And then we need to avoid these sins, especially when we are fasting. So try to understand the essence of fasting. It stops you from committing sins and enhances your spirituality, betters your world as well as the afterlife. It gives you self-discipline. It gives a beautiful mindset in the society, beautiful mindset of patience, of forbearance, of looking after each other, of being nice to each other, of being kind to each other. Just imagine when you fast with such beautiful etiquettes and manners of looking after everyone in the society, bringing everyone together with that harmony, with that peace, with that love, with that kindness, then what beautiful society it will turn out to be. So fasting in its true sense not only serves as a shield against spiritual diseases, but also against your social diseases as well, your social issues as well. So first thing first, fast in its true sense, and fasting will, inshallah, become a shield against spiritual diseases. It will enhance your spirituality and it will cleanse your soul, your spirit from all evils, which will, inshallah, make us successful in this world and in the hereafter. This was all for today. Inshallah, we'll be back with another topic in our program of ours, Fast is a Shield. Stay tuned in and keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم
دم انت رسول الله The blessings of شعبان دم انت رسول الله The blessings of شعبان The blessings of شعبان The